Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP and Caldwell. And now, get ready for You Are an IP Company.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast. Today, we are turning the tables and we're going to talk to Carrie about his IP journey, how he got into IP, and what that shift has looked like for him and his company. So, Carrie, thanks so much for coming today. And we can't wait to talk to you about your story here.
Listen, I stumbled on IP. It really happened in 2010. You know, I had written my scariest book ever, which was talking about my own journey of overcoming depression and self-injury. And so it was a pretty tough book to write, you know, because I thought I actually resisted it for the first three books. I tell people I wrote the safe books first, you know, which were just about spiritual topics. And then I felt like, well, now is this time to share my story. And so with a lot of apprehension, I put that out there. And then I had this thing years ago called Google Alerts. I still use it. And I just typed in your secret name because I thought, you know what, if anyone's talking about the book or, you know, whatever, I'd like to know. Because as an author, you want to know, like, is your book affecting people? Are people, you know, saying that it helped them?
Right.
So all of a sudden I get an alert and I'm like, cool. You know, so I go to this person's website and I start reading it and I'm like, whoa, that sounds like my book. Okay, cool. He read the book. And then I keep reading and it's like him offering the ability to speak and coach and talk and all this stuff. And it pretty much felt like he positioned it on the website that he had written it.
That's awful.
So, you know, today I'm more secure. Okay. Cause you know, somebody stole my IP 3 weeks ago and today I'm much more cool and I'm chill and I'm like, hey, you know, how you doing? And it all happened 3 weeks ago, again, 14 years later. And it was totally different. But back then when you're fragile and vulnerable and you're a new author and writing this stuff, I mean, I felt like, oh my gosh, somebody is stealing my identity. So I just quickly responded back and said, hey, you know, interesting topic. You know, is your secret name is, it's a really interesting, powerful concept about how we're given a birth name, how we adopt given names, but how God has a secret name for us. You know, that secret name is something you've been chasing your whole life, but you have to like go through these steps, which you would say is IP. Mm-hmm. You have to go through these steps to stop pretending and running from all the names, positive or negative, that the world's trying to give you, like successful or failure, you know, all these things. And then how to get to the point where like you are ready for God's new name for you. So anyway, I just pinged the guy and then no response, but literally in 4 hours, everything's wiped.
Wow.
Everything's wiped. And I mean, I wasn't like, hey, if you don't take it down, I'm going to sue you. All I did was like, hey, this is the author, Carrie Oberbrunner. I'm curious how you found out about it and what you plan to do with the message. Like, it was very, you know, collaborative. And let's talk about that in a moment, about the different types of cease and desist letters, because I know you have a strategy there. But rather than him responding positively, it was like, whoosh, nothing. He took it down, didn't even respond, nothing, forever. And what I did do, Katie, though, is to this day, I actually certified about 200 people to be Your Secret Name coaches.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. So they paid a small fee. And I basically said, here's my slide deck. Here's my handouts. You have my permission. You can speak, coach, train, and keep 100% of your profits. Because it really is a powerful message. And I wanted to make a little income. Let's say I made, I charged him so little back then because I still had my day job. Let's say I charged him $1,000 Okay. So I made $200,000 from certifying people. But what's cooler is the message went all over the world and sold more books and all this stuff. So let's talk about that, Katie. First of all, is that common? Second of all, two types of cease and desist letters.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, maybe give us some thoughts on that, the whole concept.
Yeah, I think, you know, IP infringement and sort of what you talk about here, it's very common sometimes too. I think even from what happened to you just a few weeks ago, a lot of times too, it's even just done by mistake. You don't even realize you've done it. And so it happens all the time, and there can be a lot of different approaches and strategies to take to figure out when that does happen, what is the best way to respond. Sometimes if it's maybe somebody you're looking to partner with, right, collaborate, then it's worth taking a bit of a friendlier approach, kind of lighter sort of letter. But if it's somebody that really has maliciously infringed the IP, then maybe it's more appropriate to be a little bit more heavy hitting in the letter. But
with a deadline, right? Like,
that's right.
Some of those things would be by X date, or you even send it from the letterhead of your lawyer.
Right. Yes. Right. A lot of times cease and desist letters are sent from attorneys on their letterhead, and there's usually some time period of when they have to respond by. And if they don't respond, you know, you don't have to take action immediately. You can wait, or you can, you know, proceed to filing a lawsuit. And so there's a lot of different strategies at play, kind of depending on each particular set of circumstances there.
And let's get to this point, because I think it's so powerful, because I know some people are listening right now, and they're authors or they're small business owners, entrepreneurs. And some people are like, oh, come on, Carrie and Katie, like, fine. Somebody takes your idea. Who cares? It's a big world. But in the book, we tell this very powerful story about a guy like that, who is like kind of bragging in a way. Look, guys, I know my company has created this fireplace technology that's amazing, but there's a lot of people who use it in the industry. They don't give us credit, and we're not going to really push any charges. So I'm sitting here, this is a true story. I'm sitting here at a workshop, and I hear this guy's tone, and I'm so glad that our mutual friend, I won't say who, but it's a female, and she turned to him and she said, I get it, but let me ask you a question. If that same competitor takes your technology, and it's actually named, I mean, it's a slick technology that basically prevents kids from getting burned with a fireplace. So it's like very, very cool. And she says to him, if your competitor takes your technology and they go protect it because you didn't protect it, and they lock you out of that technology that you created, how soon would you go under?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy like turned white as a ghost, because he got it for the first time. And he's like, I think we'd be gone in 1 to 6 months. And he's got like a ton of employees, and this is his business, and he's carrying the legacy. But let's talk about that, Katie, because the generous, abundant person who's all like, oh, I don't care, all of a sudden you flip the tables and you're like, fine. It's almost like a squatter house thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, these days,
where
they go into your house and they kick you out. What do you think about that? Does that ever happen?
Happens all the time. Happens a lot more frequently than you'd think. And that's one of the reasons why protecting your IP is so important, because by virtue of you protecting it, you can then control how it's used. And you don't want to end up in a situation where, just like that example, your competitor has taken it and is now boxing you out and basically running your business into the ground because there's no way around it. And it's, you know, we talk about this a lot in the book too. There's ways you can protect your IP and still use it in very collaborative manners. You can give licenses at very nominal sums, but still use it to create new technology, to partner with others, and just ensure that you still have your own kind of freedom to operate there, because you wouldn't want somebody else to come in and really box you out.
That's so good. Wow. I love this. Okay. So basically now let's get to the point of, well, it costs a lot of time and money, because I think I hear, you know, I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of somebody who's listening, who maybe doesn't have a ton of money. Maybe they're not a huge company and they're thinking, well, what can I do? Katie, in our book, we talk a lot about IP marking. You know what I'm talking about? And I think it's a great analogy of property, because if you walk by somebody's house and the door's wide open and there's in the front yard, 6 brand new boxed MacBook Pros sitting out on your yard, in certain neighborhoods, those things will be gone. Mm-hmm. You know, certain neighborhoods, man, that thing will be gone so fast. But there's other properties that have a fence and then have a pit bull and then have cameras and then have warning electric fence. And all of a sudden you're like, I don't care if there's a MacBook Pro. I don't care if there's diamonds. I hear that Rottweiler. I hear that pit bull. I see those cameras. I'm not going in. I mean, is that kind of what IP marking is? That effect?
Yeah, very similar. So what we're talking about there is patent marking, where once you have an issued patent, you can mark either on the product itself or on your website, mm-hmm. the patents that cover your products.
Yeah.
And just like those signs on a piece of land or a house, those no trespassing signs, this kind of serves the same purpose, to put others on notice of the different patents protecting your products, so that then people are aware, okay, this particular product has a lot of IP in it.
Right. So this is our app, instantip.app. And literally, can you see that, Katie?
Yeah.
I mean, we put right on there on the app, look, it's US patent, blah, blah, blah. Because look, and that might sound counter. We put it there on purpose. We don't, you know, I've gone on record so many times saying, look, instant IP is not to replace patents, copyrights, trademarks. I mean, what did we do? We put instant IP as a trademark. It's currently being reviewed. We put instant IP as 2 patents. You know, we've written a book that's copywritten with instant IP in it. You know, like, so I want people to realize, like, Katie is with Caldwell. She does this for a living, helping people. But at me as a IP user, practitioner, I'm using all the fences. But instant IP is also a fence that creates a timestamp of somebody's idea in a immutable smart contract, so that there's a fence there that can tell other people, look, I got this idea. People can actually find it, just like the USPTO. They can go to instantip.today and there's a protected tab, and then they can search and see if that IP has been turned into a smart contract. But Katie, how do you think instant IP plays well with your bread and butter, which is the traditional ways?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's similar to what we've talked about before, and what we're talking about with Tony yesterday too, is it's sort of this symphony of protection, right?
Wow, I like
where,
that.
You know, one particular item, one idea, one product, there's probably a lot of different forms of IP in it. So a common misconception is that, oh, you know, I've created this new product and I can only protect it with a patent, right? Or something, or a trademark. But a lot of times one product there's multiple different layers and different aspects of it that can be protected with a lot of different kind of forms, right? Like this hand sanitizer.
Hand sanitizer. We have Up and Up, which has the TM right there.
Yeah.
Okay. You have hand sanitizer. Lots of times you'll even see, Katie, with generics, you'll see the, you know, ingredients the same as Tylenol. Like, you, right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How can they even do that?
You can... Like you can attribute it to a different brand if you then kind of put that it's a registered trademark and you're not saying that you are that brand.
Wow.
But it's, yeah.
Yeah. And then there's a, then there, in most things, there's a formula. So back here we have Target brands. Okay. Like there's so much IP and then you have the active ingredients, which you know that world a lot more than me. I mean, there's so much IP on this thing, but that's what you're saying. It's not just the patent or the trademark.
Right.
Wow. See, that goes back to our other episode that we did recently about everything is IP.
Yeah.
In fact, that's I want to call it that, that episode. We're going to call it Everything is IP.
I love that title.
Yeah. Okay, so let's help people out here. In our book, we have these 12 steps, which we've talked about, but we also have this formula. And I want to touch on this formula because we call it the IP equation. And you actually kind of came up with this. And I had to scratch my head for a few minutes because you live in this world a lot more than me. And the IP equation, remember this thing?
Yeah, love this thing.
Yeah, your IP plus protect your IP equals IP value. It almost sounds like a little riddle, but it's not. Let's break it down into that. What are we talking about when you say your IP and then IP value? Can we talk? I think most people would understand what about your IP.
I think, yeah, most people know that if, you know, they're doing something unique, or they have a specific method or process, that's their IP. Mm. Because it's kind of what sets them apart from their competitors, from other people in the marketplace. That's what's most unique here.
Yes.
And then as soon as you protect that IP, you've then created this asset for your business. And inherently in that asset, there is a lot of value there. So, and it's, you know, I was just talking to a client about this yesterday. When we protect the IP, that value, it's kind of locked into two different places. So it's locked in kind of offensive and defensive value for your business, because you need to protect what you're creating so that other people can't steal it. But then really where you drive value from it is creating liability for others, because if other people are practicing it, right, then you know that there is inherent need for it and therefore there is value in it.
I like it. So it's security is defense.
Yeah.
And then liability is the offense.
Exactly.
That's cool. That's cool. And really, that's what the whole book is. It's, hey, everybody, here's the ways you can protect it. And then, hey, everybody, here's the ways you, and I like that term you use a lot. I've heard you say it, unlock the value.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because the thing is too, you know, at different points in a company's growth, the IP is going to serve different, you know, functions. So if you're just getting started, you're going to go on defense because you need to protect your idea so you can start selling your product, making money, generating revenue, getting investments. But later on, as the company grows and matures, then we want to start thinking offensively, because maybe there's new market entrants who are coming in, right? Who are seeing what you're doing. Now they're copying it. Okay, how do we go shut them down? Or how do we go talk about some kind of collaboration? So at different periods of growth of a company, the IP is kind of serving different functions.
Well, I like that. And in the book, I want people to see, Katie, I know we're going to land the plane here soon, but there's these little phrases that are really important that kind of like are extra important. And I think that you have, you know, just like you are wearing glasses and just like I have glasses around here somewhere. Once you see IP, you see it everywhere. But when I, you know, in our book, when we come up with a quote, like you'll never optimize your IP until you first organize your IP. Like I'm a writer. I've been in this 20 years. I know that that's hot. Like that's a hot statement, you know? And John Maxwell was a mentor. I kind of know how to like write these little, I call them quotable timeless truths. Okay. So when we drop something like that in the book, I know that, look, I'm not afraid to spend money, invest it. You know, I just filed another trademark 2 weeks ago for You Are an IP Company. I'm not afraid to file trademarks, but you know, I can't file everything that I come up with as a writer because that's 2K. That's 2K, you know, by the time I do multiple classes. Right. So that's where Instant IP really exists. And then, you know, there's another one coming too, but throughout the book, we got this little superscript IP. But all I want to do with this is I want to tell people, look, there's a little fence around this. So don't take this and start popping it all over social media and say that you came up with it. That's kind of my intent. Is that offense and defense speaking right there?
It is, because it's always a balancing act, right? Because inevitably you're going to create a lot of different pieces of IP.
Yeah.
And you can't protect all of them. So it's always kind of prioritizing and attributing, you know, value and recognition to, okay, what's kind of the most important thing to get protected right now, and what's things we can come back to later on. Maybe we're just going to be on it. We don't know how important it's going to play. We have this idea, but we're not sure. So it's always a moving target, because as the company is growing, the direction, the values, the vision is shifting. And so it's always, you know, it's good to organize your IP, because you're going to want to have something to keep referencing, to come back to as you're growing and scaling, because different ideas are going to become more centrally focused to the business and other ideas will become more peripheral. And that's just normal shift over time too.
I love that. And, you know, as a writer, everything is attributed to Mark Twain. I mean, you go online and you're like, okay, I know Benjamin Franklin and Mark Twain didn't come up with everything on the planet. But back then you didn't have this great way to timestamp and say who was first, who did come up with that quote. And so what I did, Katie, before we launched the app, is I literally took my 20 years of work, my 13 previous books, and I went through them all and said, look, and this took time, but I said, what is really a legacy piece here? You know, like clarity attracts, confusion repels. When you prepare for the moment is prepared for you. The area of your deepest wound is often the area of your greatest contribution. I mean, these are the things that I've said for years, and I know they're my own, but if I don't ever put them in Instant IP, I've seen people just take stuff and be like, oh, I came up with that. And my goal isn't to be like, oh, I came up with it. But think about how they can misuse things if they claim it as their own.
Right. Well, and then too, I think, you know, things can get distorted too.
Yes, they can change words and be like, oh, I came up with this. And you're like, actually, that's against my values.
Right. The meaning can shift. It can get very kind of complicated very fast.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would encourage people, and one of the very first steps in our process is that people organize. And I get what people are thinking. People are like, oh, I got to go up to my attic in my business and dig it out. But what's the alternative? The alternative is you die and now your descendants have to go through it all and they're going to not know it. Or B, you sell your company and you have all these Rembrandts in there.
Yeah. No, that's a great point too, because a lot of people don't realize too, if you have that IP and you have it protected and you're going to go sell your company, it's going to really help drive up your valuation.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, Katie, this is so fun. Every, you know, week to jump in and help these clients. I think it's just going to grow. I think once people realize in this new world of AI and internet and digital assets that IP is so valuable, I think it's almost like a consciousness globally that needs to happen. And I think entrepreneur and business will be better because of it.
That's right. Yeah. I think too, once people really tap into it and they see what value it can add, it's just going to really kind of spread the word about IP too.
I love it. Well, folks, keep listening. Every time you listen, we know you're growing, you're becoming smarter. I certainly am. I'm learning things every week from Katie, and it's just a blast. So thanks for joining us on this journey. Get the book, get the free course. I'll drop that link today. It's instantip.today/bonuses. As you're thinking about patents, copyrights, trademarks, go to Caldwell. Folks, I'm telling you, Caldwell is the place. I think you have to have a law firm that gets your vision and your pace. And Katie, we've worked really good together. I've now chatted with a lot of your team members. And recently, I'll just share this here as we end today. Recently, you all came to me and you said, look, in your special thing that you're creating, we advise you to be this type of, you know, liability. And I was like, but I still need to be entrepreneurial. And so like, it's collaborative. That's what I'm trying to say. Like Caldwell's very collaborative, where they want to achieve your vision and not slow you down, but they also want to protect your liability. Is that a good?
Yeah. We like to say around here, you know, we like to be high speed and low drag, right? Because a lot of clients like you are growing fast, and
yeah,
you need to kind of get answers and solutions quickly that are tailored to what you're looking to go do. So that's
so good.
Really what we achieve to do together.
All right, folks, go make your IP first identified and secondly protected. We'll see you on the next show.
Thank you for listening to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Visit instantip.today and caldwelllaw.com for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.